you'd like to turn to Isaiah 42, our friend Mr. Hawker makes this statement about Isaiah 42. He says, "We have a blessed sermon indeed. God the Father is the preacher, Christ the mediator is both text and sermon, and God the Holy Ghost is opening and making application of the blessed contents to the Church of Christ." Before we begin, I do want to draw your attention to one verse in particular, which is perhaps the most difficult verse in the passage. Verse 19 says, "Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant?" If the servant here spoken of is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he certainly is throughout this passage, then how is it that he is blind? How is it that he is deaf? How is it that the Saviour, who is himself God, could be blind and deaf? I think you'll agree that it is not easily understood. Let's start at verse 1 in chapter 42 and make our way there. These first three verses are also quoted in Matthew chapter 12. Our Lord Jesus is very evidently the fulfillment of this very prophecy. He is the servant that this passage speaks of. Verse 1 says, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles." So the Lord God bids us to behold his beloved Son. Behold my servant. And that's the reason why we're here today, isn't it? To behold this one whom God delights in. Christ the mediator came as a servant. Philippians tells us that, doesn't it? Philippians tells us that he took on the form of a servant, that he made himself with no reputation, he humbled himself and became obedient to death. Such is the manner in which the Messiah was prophesied to come. And God says of him, "He is mine elect." Mine elect. God's elect one. Elect in the office of mediator between God and man. He is elect as that one who has saved his people from their sins. And he is elect in whom God the Father placed all his trust to obtain eternal redemption for them. Verse 2, "He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street." In all his ministry, he will never be found regretting or complaining of his circumstances. Never will he speak in frustration. "He shall not cry, nor lift up. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth." Our Saviour is a tender and compassionate Saviour. Angus was saying just a little moment ago that he is gentle, the gentle Saviour. Saviour knows full well, doesn't he, our weakness, and he knows our frailty. And here in verse 4 is a truth to stand on with confidence. "He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has set judgment in the earth." He shall not fail. It is impossible, isn't it, that he should fail. And to suggest that he could fail is an insult to God of the highest magnitude. Everything that he was commissioned to do, he would complete without fail. He's Jehovah's servant, isn't he? Whatever he wills to do shall be completed. He shall not fail. And the isles shall wait for his law. The isles represent those in the remote regions, the islands, those who are far off. It represents the Gentiles. The Lord God will preserve them and keep them until they have heard his gospel. He'll cause them to wait. And here is the commission of Almighty God to this one who is his servant, who shall not fail. He says in verse 5, "Thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness." God has called his servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, in righteousness. He's called in righteousness to fulfill righteousness, to perform all righteousness, to bring everlasting righteousness to his people. And he says, "I will hold thine hand and keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people." Father was ever present with our Lord Jesus. His mighty angels ever ready with him. "I will give thee for a covenant," he says. All the blessings of God's grace to chosen sinners are found in Christ himself, aren't they? The Lord Jesus Christ himself is that covenant. He is our surety, our covenant surety. "I will give thee a light for the Gentiles," verse 7, "to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house." Blind eyes. Eyes that are spiritually blind. Blind to their own condition before a holy God. Blind to sinfulness of sin. Blind to the holiness of God. And blind to the need of a Saviour. We have no idea how blind we are until God opens our eyes, the eyes of our understanding. When John the Baptist was in prison, he sent two of his disciples to the Lord Jesus, and he asked, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Such are the works of our Messiah, all performed to the glory of the Father." His glory is paramount, isn't it? His glory must be known. In verse 8 he says, "I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass." Everything in the past that God recorded in the scriptures for us has come to pass. Everything has come to pass. Everything he said he would do has come to pass exactly as he said he would. "And new things do I declare, before they spring forth, I tell you of them." This very passage describes in fine detail the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was written 700 years before his incarnation, before he was born. And we have the privilege, don't we, of looking back to the fulfillment of it. And our knowledge of him causes us to sing his praises. Verse 10, "Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth, ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Let the wilderness and the cities thereof lift up their voice. The villages that Kedar doth inhabit, let the inhabitants of the rock sing, let them shout from the tops of the mountains." We love to sing that hymn, don't we? "Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Long ago the Lord God placed his people in that rock for their safekeeping." We are inhabitants of the rock. We are inhabitants of the rock. The Lord God placed us in Christ. Verse 12, "Let them give glory unto the Lord and declare his praise in the islands. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealousy like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. I have long holden my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now will I cry like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. I will make waste mountains and hills and dry up all their herds, and I will make the rivers islands, and I will dry up the pools. That's God talking about his activities and the salvation of his people. In the salvation of his people, the Lord God will make sure that every refuge of lies will be taken away. Verse 16, and I will bring the blind by a way they knew not. I will bring you by the way of grace and mercy. I will bring you in the way of righteousness. We would never have known the grace and mercy and righteousness of God had he not brought us that way. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. I will take away your confusion. I will cause you to see my hand and my work. I will cause you to look to my servant. These things, he says, will I do unto them and not forsake them. They shall be turned back. They shall be greatly ashamed that trust in graven images, that say to the molten images, ye are our gods. After hearing the gospel of grace, were we not ashamed of the filthy rags that we once held so dear? Of the false idols and the gods that we once esteemed, were we not ashamed? Once we were both deaf and blind, yet the Lord has made us to hear and see. Hear, ye deaf, and look, ye blind, that ye may see. None of us can see the truth of God. None of us can savingly hear the gospel. None of us can see salvation. None of us can hear or see anything spiritual until the Lord enables us, until he causes us to look to Christ for everything, until he causes us to see his servant. And here now the Lord God is speaking of this servant. The Lord Jesus Christ is his messenger. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant? Now, Brother Don Porter gave an excellent message called A Blind and Deaf Saviour. I'd encourage you to listen to it sometime if you can. And he speaks of this verse, who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger? While our Lord Jesus Christ, God's servant, walked on this earth as our substitute and our surety and as our representative, doing all the will of God on our behalf for the accomplishment of our eternal salvation, God's servant was blind. He was blind and deaf to all the obstacles before him. He was blind and deaf to everything that would hinder him. Willfully and deliberately, he was blind and deaf to anything that would stand in the way of the redemption of his people. He was blind and deaf to the temptations of Satan to lure him away from his work to save our souls. Satan used all the things that men desire, didn't he, to cause him to stumble. But he was blind to those temptations. He was deaf to the words of Satan. His eyes saw them, didn't they? And his ears heard them, but he was blind and deaf to them. And when he was to go to Jerusalem, his disciples knew that the Jews sought to kill him, and they tried to persuade him not to go. They pleaded with him, but he was blind, wasn't he? Blind to their influence. He was deaf to their concerns because he knew what he must do. And just a few pages over in Isaiah chapter 50, Verse 6 we read, I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off my hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. Such was the determination of our Lord Jesus Christ. He set his face like flint, unbending, hardened, inflexible. He had the determination to go forth and do what he had to do. He set his face like flint. He was blind and deaf, wasn't he, to all the horror that was to come as he prepared to give himself a ransom for many. He would not be moved from his path. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Now, Lord Jesus Christ is God's messenger. The messenger, he's the messenger of covenant. He himself is God's covenant messenger. He is the word of God. He is the revelation of God. He is God's messenger, but he is deaf. He was deaf to the slanders that were heaped upon him. Not once did he protest against them. You turn over in Isaiah 53, you know it well. Verse 7. The scripture says he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was deaf, wasn't he? Deaf to the accusations of those men that stood there at his mock trial. Deaf to all the taunts and jeers as he hung upon that tree. He was deaf and blind, wasn't he, to the humiliation and the suffering that was to be endured. How thankful ought we be? That he was perfectly blind and perfectly deaf to every instrument of Satan designed to cause him to fail. Who is blind but my servant, or deaf as my messenger that I sent? Who is blind as he that is perfect, and blind as the Lord's servant, he that is perfect? He perfected forever, didn't he, them that are sanctified, perfect in all that he did. He was God's perfect servant, and blind in this way also. And may we rejoice to know it is so. He is blind to the sins of his people. Verse 20 says, seeing many things, but thou observest not, opening the ears, but he heareth not. You remember when Noah got drunk after the flood, and he was found naked by his son Ham, and he called his brothers, Shem and Japheth. And Shem and Japheth took a blanket, and they put it over their shoulders, and they walked in backwards, and they covered their father's nakedness. They covered their father's nakedness. They refused to observe it. It was a shameful thing. So our Lord Jesus sees many things, doesn't he? Our sins are so plainly evident, aren't they? But he is blind to them. He observeth not, and he heareth not. Our sins are so evident, but he doesn't lay them to our charge. God doesn't lay them to our charge. He sees, doesn't he? The Lord Jesus is the omniscient God. He sees all things, but he's blind to our sins. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute sin. It's a wonderful truth that we love to declare. God has never beheld iniquity in his people. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. We declare ourselves to be the chief of sinners, don't we? Our sins are so plainly in view all the time, yet he observeth not. He is blind to all the evil in us and all the evil we perform. Lord Jesus made atonement for our sins. God laid them on his Son. God saw them on his Son, and God punished them in his Son. And now and forever, those sins are gone. He put them away. He covered them up. And our God observeth not. Observeth not. That is good news. Surely that is good news for sinners. May the Lord bless this to us today. We're going to sing number 29.